Were you ever involved in things like the PTA or the Girl Scouts or those kinds of activities?
No. No, I went one time and I just couldn't hack that PTA. I didn't ever got involved in that. I just didn't, went one time and I just, it seemed like all the mothers were trying to get a hold of the teacher to ask about their kid and you could never even get a chance to talk to her or, so forget it. Just one time, that was it.
What kinds of things would you do with your daughter as she was growing up?
Well,
were there special things that you...
Oh, I know we were always together, always going shopping together, and we go to the show together. Well, she seemed like it, if she wasn't in school, like that, we were always together, you know. And like her dad was working night shift, I was the one that helped her with her homework every night, you know. And we had it, the way we set it up was that after dinner she would play a while, and then come in, and then we'd start on her homework. No TV till we, you know, we did her homework. And then after that, we'd watch TV and everything. Or I'd have, a lot of women knew that I was by myself, no husband at home, and some of the women that, friends that I had would get a carload and come over here and spend, you know, we'd have get together, and just talk, have coffee, you know. And that's about it. And it's just, we both of us love shopping. In fact, we were on the phone a little while ago talking about shopping. And, we I took her to church because she ended up joining my brothers. Remember I told you about that woman teacher taking us to a Presbyterian, but he ended up being a Baptist. So since we weren't very much into the Catholic religion, my brother said, "Do you mind if she comes to our church?" And I said, "No, you know." So she started going with her. He's got three daughters, so she started going to their church and then to their camp. You know, they have summer camps, church summer camps. And she just got involved. And then when she was about 16, she says, "Well, Mom, I think I would like to be baptized into that church." So she got baptized into it, and I would take her to church. And they were trying to get me to join, but I told them, "Well, I can't be discord with my husband, you know. So, but I'll be bringing my daughter to this church, you know, on Sundays." To that extent, I would get involved, you know. And so what happens, she married a Catholic. She ends up being a Catholic again. Her little son has been baptized Catholic, and you know. So, that being in that, it really helped her because all through her high school, she was very active in the church. And I think it helped her through her teen years a lot. So I don't regret it. And we'd go on trips with her. We took her to Mexico. We took her, wherever we went, she'd go. She'd travel with us. So I think she's still pretty close. I mean, we don't get to see each other that often, like I say, maybe once a month, but she's on the phone, you know.
Where does she live now?
She's West Covina. West Covina. She's been married about 5 years. And I think I did right by her. I remember she wanted to be a social worker. But knowing her, she's too timid around, well, her girlfriend said it for me. She says, she wants to be a social worker. And she says, we went down San Pedrino with that, she says, to get some paint. And she says, and there was kind of a little rough area there. And she says, Ellen was scared to death. And she says, she has no right to be there. So she was English major and with a history minor, I think. She ended up being a bilingual school teacher. Mm. So, and she didn't talk Spanish at all when she was home. But she understood it, you know. So it wasn't hard for her to pick it up real fast. Mm-hmm. And now she speaks it better than I do. I mean, she speaks it the correct way. Everybody that, like, our relatives are from Mexico, I talk it, but it's not the correct way. And she talks it very precise, the correct way.
Did you and your husband speak Spanish a lot at home?
No. But her grandmother, she hear it from, and she, with all of our friends and everything, she get here, you know, and she picked it up. And now with all the kids that she's teaching, that I would say about 80% of them are Spanish. She's learned. That's where she picked up a lot of it. And she just loves the little kids. And she, go ahead. Well, she's teaching the first grade, so.
I was going to ask you if you read Dr. Spock or any.
Oh, yes. I wore one out and had to buy another one. Yes. That was my pop. And now I hear he's discredited. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
But they say that. I used to mostly look up for illnesses. You know, whatever, as it was coming along, because she caught every one of them. And I remember I told my doctor, I says, gee, what am I going to do? I says, I don't have a mother to refer to. And I says, I can't be calling you all the time. So he says, well, just get Dr. Spock, we'll get some paperback. So I did, and I wore it out, and I had to end up getting another one. And that helped me a lot, you know. It reassures you. Mm-hmm. I remember... In fact, I even called my doctor about it when she was first born. She had blood on her diaper. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, my God. And I ran and called the doctor. And he said, well, no, she's got some hormones from you. And then that she still has them, and that's why she had, a little period, mm-hmm. you know. And so then I looked it up, and sure enough, it mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
So it helped a lot.
What kinds of things did she do when she was little? What kinds of things did she play?
Well, mostly playing out in the backyard, playing. I always wanted a dollhouse, and I bought her a dollhouse, and she never would play with it. I had bought her the best, you know, the with all the furniture and everything,
mm-hmm.
and I would say, look at it, isn't that nice? And she never played with it. No, she just had her dolls that she would play with, and I remember one time my husband was going to, just before we bought this house, he was going to build her a playhouse. And he started, he had the frame locked. And then she went out, marched out, and she said, I want a bathroom there, and a kitchen there, and a living room there. And he got all, she goes, I don't tell you nothing. She wants all these rules. And I told him later, I said, well, you listen to her, just build her a little, doghouse thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but good thing he did, because right after that we sold the house, and it would have been very cumbersome to move. But, she just played, you know, with the kids next door and things like that. Inside the house, mm-hmm. too, playing different games, things like that. I can't even remember, you know, I think back, you know. She had her books that she liked to look through and read. She's more of I guess for being an only child, I guess you have your child being by herself. They play by themselves mm-hmm. a lot.
I wondered if she was a tomboy. You talked about you being a tomboy.
No, she wasn't the tomboy like her. She's more, even now she's more the she sews and she loves to cook. Mm-hmm. She's more into her house, you know. And with me, I'm out there shoveling with him. But the only thing she does in the yard is kind of, or give orders what she wants. She's more feminine than I am. She likes jewelry, which I don't care for jewelry too much.
Mm-hmm.
She loves jewelry and all that, she's a lot more feminine than I am.
Did you encourage her to go to college?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when she went to start high school, she wanted to know what course to take. And I told her, take an academic. I says, because there's a chance that you might go to college. And I said, you take a business course. I says, if you decide that's what you want when you graduate, I says, you can take that in 6 months, you learn it. Whereas if you decide you want to college, it's too late, you know. So I told her, I says, be prepared. And she was good in English and all the history and all that. But when it came to math, algebra and all that, she failed it. And I had a lot to do. So I told her, take it in summer. Mm-hmm. Go back to, she'd always be going to summer school on account of this, on account of math. And so then she would take it over. And then her dad, he's good in math. He would help her. And somehow she'd get a C in it and pass. But she's no big whiz at it. And what happened was when she was in her senior year, when she graduated, she was going to go to Harvard. And then she saw in the posting, just like I saw in the posting for the training, ironic, she saw signing up for, they wanted Chicanos for UCLA. So she signed up. But all the time she wanted to go to Harvard because she had a boyfriend that was going there from San Pedro. And so that's when I tell you that she went to, did I tell you how she went to the beach with her girlfriend? Mm-hmm. She had this girlfriend that used to live across the street, but they got wealthy. Mm-hmm. And they moved to Palos Verdes. And the parents invited her to go to, they rented a house at the beach, and they invited Ellen to go spend it over there. And that day at work, they told us, we have another parts for all of you girls go home. So I was walking in the door about 11 o'clock and the phone's ringing. I think it was all fate. And it was UCLA. And they said, Ellen has been accepted at UCLA and we want her here tomorrow for, what do they call it, when you come in for orientation. Yeah. And I said, she'll be there. So then I got on the phone and I told Ellen, I said, you've been accepted at UCLA. We were so happy. And she said, I don't want to go to UCLA. She said, I want to go to Harvard. I said, you're going to UCLA, Ellen. I said, you've got to give it a try, at least. And if you don't like it, you can always go to Harvard. So I told her, and she was crying. And her girlfriend was crying, because she knew they were going to go to Harvard. And I told her, we're picking you up tonight. That was on about a Tuesday or like that. And so we got there. And even her parents were a little cold with us, because they're Argentinians. And they don't believe in sending the girl away, you know, because that meant that Ellen was going to be staying in a dorm over there, be leaving home, and they just did not approve of that. Mm-hmm. And, well, we just went along with what we thought was right, and we told Ellen, well, you're going to go, you're going to give it a try, you know. You're going to have our backing financially, whatever it is that you need, we're going to give it to you. So this is your chance. So we bought her home. She cried all the way back in the mm-hmm. back seat. And so she went. She knew how to drive, and she took my car, and she went out to UCLA, and they took her in and everything. And she kept telling this girl's name was Susan. She was the one that signed her up. And she called her up and told her, I'm not coming, you know. And Susan told her, Ellen, you are going to UCLA, you know. Somehow or other, you're going to go, you know, threatening her, you know. And here comes the end of the year, you know, when you start. And, of course, Harvard starts before. Mm-hmm. So she says, Mother, could I go for 1 week? I said, okay, you can go for 1 week with the understanding that you're not going to stay there, you know. So she went for 1 week. And luckily, that boyfriend of hers, he had been there a year already, so that was his second year. He was trying to prove to her, I guess, how popular he was with all the girls. Mm-hmm. Well, that was his downfall, because she asked Mom, she says, to think that I would give up UCLA because of him, you know, it opened her eyes. So we took her to UCLA, and she got her a dorm. All things I've always wanted, you know, that I said, girl, you're lucky. And, I think it wasn't 2 weeks that she thought. She says, Harvard is nothing like it compared to UCLA, you know. Yeah, she stayed there. But, through a lot of pushing, and she met her best girlfriend, which is the one that she roomed with from the rest of that time she was in college. And her girlfriend was the same way. She was afraid to go. She lived in Santa Monica. She thought UCLA was so far away. She got picked, I think, because of the grades. They had good grade average, and she came from a family of 10 kids. They were on welfare, and she was the oldest. Mm-hmm. And she didn't want to leave her mother because she had gotten attached to the youngest baby, and she didn't want to leave that baby. But it took her 2 weeks till she finally got courage enough to start going to her room, which she had been assigned. We had to pay because we were able to. Mm-hmm. But with her, she didn't have to pay. And she says, and she tells us now, she says, don't you think that I thought my home in Santa Monica was so far away? You know, that's how far she'd been. She hadn't been, you know. And her and Ellen, my daughter, were both, my daughter was 17 at the time. They were both like babes in the woods. And, you know, to this day, they're friends. They're both married, have families and everything, and they're still real good friends. They lived, there in the dorm. Then my daughter, the second year, she commuted from here. And then the third year, they got an apartment with some other girls. And the fourth year, they got another apartment with some other girls. Mm. You know, and she just seemed like she had no problem with her grades or anything. I mean, she didn't make the best of grades, but she made it.
Has she ever gotten involved in Chicano politics?
She did at the school. Yeah, she did. That's, in fact, before that, she had most of all her girlfriends had been, well, that Argentinian girl she had, and then most of all her girlfriends were American girls. Mm-hmm. And she had never been around too many Mexican kids. So when she got exposed over there, she started getting involved, you know, in it. To her, it was very new, you know. Because a lot of the kids that came, they were from the east side, and she got to see how they were, and this is what a difference, you know. Very, very different from the way we were raised her, and all the opportunities she had, and then what some of the kids had. And in fact, she even met her husband through her girlfriend. They got a summer job, and working as that. Remember that job corps they used to have? And they were, what do they call them, supervisors for the job corps for the kids. They had to report to them. And so Ellen got a job in Santa Monica. And she lied that she lived in Santa Monica with that girl. Otherwise, I don't think economically she would have qualified for that job. But she wanted to work, you know, she wanted to work in there. And her husband was working there, mm-hmm. her future husband. He had been in the service and had been sent to Germany and had come back. And he had been... First he got married, you know, about 20 years, when he was 20 years old, he got divorced, you know, one of his teenage marriages. And he went to Europe, army, to the army, and then when he was dismissed, he came back. And his job, he had been a grocery clerk, checker for Ralph's Market. And he decided, I want to go back to college. And I have to hand it to him. He did. That's when my daughter met him. He'd already had about 2 years when she met him. And as usual, they couldn't stand each other at the beginning. And then they started dating, and they waited till they graduated, you know. And we both got a job, and we both got married. And that's where she met him, at one of those youth core jobs. Mm-hmm. And he was at the same capacity as she was, you know. So... Now he's a parole officer, you know. And, so they're doing real good so far. And, they have a little, he's going to be 8 months old, baby. So they waited almost 5 years to have. But she's like 29, she better, you know, she was 28 when she had, she says, it's best to have me, you know, now or never.
So. Is she going to continue working?
Yeah, she went right back to work when he was 3 months old, she went right back to work. And, like right now, she's lucky she's got 5 days. She has a 5 day weekend, you know, to be home with. So, and I told her that would be, if you're going to get married, have family, that would be the best job, is being a teacher, because you have 9 months, you're working, and a lot of holidays, and you have more time off to be with your family, you know.
Summers
and... Yeah, this, 3 months, and Christmas, and Easter, and a lot of holidays. And you get out early. Like she's out at 2:40, so you have long hours to be with her baby. So I guess my advice helped out, leading her through the way. I could tell her, I says, "You're doing what I would like to have done, have the opportunity to have done." You know. So I don't know what the future generation is going to have. It's going to be hard to get an education, money-wise, homes. Mm-hmm. My husband will probably leave this house to our grandson. Because he won't be able to buy one. Mm-hmm. So. That's about it. Do you have any more questions?
Yes. I'm going to talk about when you went back to work to North America.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of work did you do there?
Oh, I think that was one of my roughest jobs that I worked in aircraft. This time I got into the heavy heavy, what do they call it, reduction. This is for the fuselage. It runs, one side was running on a track, mm-hmm. and another on the other side, you know, like it wasn't joined yet. Mm-hmm. And what we did was we were working, the job that I did would take almost 2.5 days to complete from start to finish. And of course they always give you a partner, you know, to work with. And it was kind of rough going back to work, not working, and coming into having to work on such a rough job, you know, learning.
Was it riveting?
Yes, riveting, drilling. It was, and a lot of the riveting was done on stainless steel. Mm-hmm. You know, like you had to wear goggles and everything, because all that, when you're drilling into steel, it's very hard. You had a, it just, all those chips come out at you and burn you, you know. And it was hard. I mean, physically hard. And then, of course, you had to be accurate. I mean, you had to do a lot of layout, and it had to come out in the right spot, mm-hmm. you know, because that's you're working on a big finished piece already. It isn't like when you're working on a little piece that you ruin it. Well, that doesn't mean nothing. But when you're working on a fuselage like that, and you're drilling a quarter-inch hole, and you know, and you better be sure it's going to come out right on the other side, mm-hmm. you know. And so it takes it took more, how would you say, more knowledge, more
skill. What made you decide to go back to North America instead of Douglas?
Oh, what happened was that I heard over the radio that Northrop needed people. My brother was working there. He still,
was Northrop,
still,
not
yeah,
North America?
Northrop. Okay. And I heard over the radio and the news that Northrop was looking for people. So I got on the phone call, and they said, well, if you have experience, we're going to hire you. So I went down there, and they hired me right away, mm-hmm. you know. And as usual, for more money, you know, trying to get more money, getting more things. And I last, and then I thought, that's when I didn't know I was, you know, had that big tumor. Mm-hmm. And I liked working there, but it was just that it was very hard. The work was harder, a lot harder. You had to get down beneath and be crawling around, and, you know, mm-hmm. it was more, it wasn't like it was before, that it was easier work. Mm-hmm.
And then when you went back after your operation, you went to Douglas?
I didn't go, yeah, I went back to Douglas. I didn't go back to work for, like I tell you, almost 3 years later.
And what kind of work did you do then?
This time I went back, my neighbor got me that job. I had been trying to get back to Douglas, and I'm going to tell you about, at that time, they were hiring mostly men. Mm-hmm. They would not want to hire women.
At Douglas?
Yeah. And I would go with an application almost every week down there, you know, put in an application. Because I knew they threw them away once, you know. Mm-hmm. And I remember this, they had a woman guard that looked, I guess, this woman's here again with her application. But I wanted to go work to Douglas because it was like home to me, you know, I liked it. I liked working for Douglas. So one day I was visiting my neighbors next door, and he worked at Douglas, and I told him, you know, I've been trying to get back to Douglas, and I can't get back in there. You know, I said, I think they're tearing up all my, pretty soon I'm going to give up, you know. So he says, I'll get you in. He said, I know the foreman, I'll get you in. So sure enough, Vic got me in. And I'm the one that told him to go there originally, because they had just had twin babies, mm-hmm. lost his job, he used to be a beer truck driver. And he used to drink the beer too much, and they fired him. So here they just bought a new home, new twins, new furniture, and out of a job. So I told him, why don't you try Douglas? You know, and he did go down there, and he got a job. So by the time I told him that, he was a leadman. He was already going up. And sure enough, he says, you just show up to work at the personnel, and they have an Ohio requisition, you know, for you. So I did. I went up there, and they called the foreman that was going to be my foreman. And he came, and he said, that Vic, I thought, you know, my name was Apollini Luna. He said, I thought you were a man, you know. I said, well, Apollini, I guess you can't tell by that. It could be man or woman. And he said, well, he says, we can use you. You're real nice, you know. And when I went by that guard, woman guard, I looked at her like, See, it pays to be stubborn somewhere. And so when I got in there, sure enough, there was only two other women in that department. It was what they call hand forming. It's what, when you start working on a plane, the first thing they do is cut out the parts, okay? Then they get, after they get cut, somebody smooths the edges, you know, they file them and they like it. So they don't cut, they're not sharp. Then they are put on form blocks. Then they are sent in, they're on tables, these form blocks. And they're set on that form and everything, and then they put a lot of rubber pads over it, and it goes into a big hydro press, and that forms the parts, okay? Mm-hmm. Then they go to heat treating, where they are heat treated to a certain temperature. Then they come out in, they put them in water to cool them off, and then they go to, like, ice boxes, okay? And from there, you get the part with the order, and it's got a template on it. And from that template, it tells you how it's supposed to be formed. And that was my job, to form it. I liked it, because every job was different. I mean, you go in there and get a box of parts, and it would have the template and whatever is information, how to make it. And then you would form it that way, and then you would sign up the order, and then they'd go to inspection. And I liked that job. But when I was going to tell you that there was only two older women that had been left there during the war, you know, and they were elderly women already, you know. But you know, they were so nice. They were, you know how some women are, you know, you come into our territory, something like that. Not them. They were said, oh, another woman, good, you know. And we did the small parts. All the men did all the big strapping, because there's big parts in, you know. We did all the small sub-assembly, all the small parts. But the men didn't like it because they were too tedious for them, you know. And women liked it because they were light, and, you know. And they taught me how to do it, and everything. They were, you know, I liked that job.
Was it a big department?
Yes, that's where all the plane starts. You know, all the parts where all the plane go in there.
I should know. Only three of you women.
Only three women, you know, and that's what, because they were had the seniority left over from the. They probably had their kids already and everything, you know, when the war, because they were already elderly, mm-hmm. you know, and. And Vic, my neighbor, he was my lead then. And then he got made foreman. So all the time he was there, you know. And they were all real nice. Right away I went up to the top, you know, as far as my classification. Got my raises real easy and everything. Because those women, I remember the lead man, was another lead man after Vic left, asked him, do you mind if she goes up, you know, because she's doing real good. They said, no, you know, we don't, you know. Because it had taken them a long time to, you know. You know, you just got to a certain spot and that was it. You stayed there for years and years and years and years and that's it. So.
I was going to ask you that, if you ever got to change classifications or
I'd go up as far as the wage scale was, but not to get out. And just to show you that Vic that I'm telling you about, he got to go way up. I don't even know how far. In fact, he's retiring pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And he has gotten to be up there. Mm. But see, that's where he could get me the job. That otherwise, I would have gone into assembly. But that's where he got me. And that's where I got laid off of, that they had the big recession, you know. And so then, that's when I stayed home about 3 years after that, and I didn't work. And I went to work at Honeywell. And a lot of the work was there was more or less using almost the same, not riveting or anything like that, but using some of the tools, you know, almost air tools, same like, you know, saw fabrication, things like that.
What were you making at Honeywell?
I worked all over, but mostly they make controls for gas controls for the water heater, for the furnaces. And in other words, at a certain temperature drop, it drops at a certain temperature, then it automatically makes it go on to heat the water heater or whatever. And most of the time I ended up, because at that time they were expanding real fast, what they do there, they have a policy, they post all their jobs, and you sign up for it if you want it. And then whoever's got the most seniority gets a try at it, which is a very good, everybody gets a chance at it. So at that time, they posted right away testing job, which was as high as you could go there, unless you wanted to be a lead later or something. you know. And most of the time, a year after I got there, I went into that. And most of the time, that's what I was, a tester. Mm-hmm. Testing the controls at CSU.